1,600 people. Half of them took the other half and marched them through that town, just humiliating them, making them do exercises, then started torturing them. And then finally, they took them out and murdered all the Jews in that town. So about 1,600 of them were murdered. That was actually a little bit over than half the town. And even the Germans, the Nazis, when they got there, they were shocked by this. Because nobody had told them to do this. So when I was in my psychology class, we had to write a paper on why do we think they did it. My answer was simple. It was a little bit in two parts, but it was still simple. It was first, the reason why they did it was because they knew they could get away with it. And then we are sinful, sinful people. But you hear that statement a lot. I believe humans are basically good. What is good? And I just want to go through some scriptures that we all know really well. Matthew 5:20 says this, Jesus is talking, and he says, "For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you by no means will enter into the kingdom of heaven." And if you ask most people today, why they think they're going to heaven, they would say, "Well, I'm a good person." So they think that their own righteousness can get there. And Jesus is saying, even these religious nuts, righteousness is not near good enough. So, well, how good do we have to be? Matthew 5:48 answers that. It says, "Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." So that means we have a problem, right? Every one of us have a problem. As we know, Romans 3:23, probably a lot of us have memorized, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So that's our biggest problem, right? We've sinned. We know we've sinned. There's a scripture that goes along with that. Matter of fact, I memorized it because our family fathers used this scripture to say why we had separation of powers in our own constitution. And it's Jeremiah 17:9. "For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The heart of man is desperately wicked. So we go back to the question, are we good? Is humankind good? Again, with Romans, I'm going to go through most of the Romans Road. You've probably heard me talk about the Romans Road before. Well, now you're going to hear most of the scriptures in it. Romans 3:10-18 says this, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who even seeks after God. For all have turned aside, and together they have become unprofitable." So if that's where we are, what does God say about that? Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So there is hope. And that's the gospel that we have all talked about when we talk about, have you shared the gospel? That is it. The good news that Jesus came and brought hope. Because every one of us is a sinner. Some worse than others. But we're all just as equally condemned. Somebody asked me one time, they said, "Which continue to help. Which sin is it? At the time when I first heard that question, sorry, my voice is bleeding. When I first heard that question, I said, well, any sin. And that's partly true. But the sin that will definitely show that, and the only sin that is truly unforgivable, is not having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I hope my voice holds up the rest of this. But, that leads to one of my favorite scriptures. It should be a favorite of every Christian. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew and also for the Greek. It is the righteousness of God that is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel is the reason why we celebrate the Lord's Supper. God really hit me with that this week. It is a reminder of what Christ did for us. We don't use these in our church, but I wanted to show this. You know, this isn't the perfect example, but when you look at real matzah, the bread that was used during the Lord's Supper, or unleavened bread, it normally was grilled. So two things that is true about every matzah, and if you look close on this, you'd see it too. In order for it to work, they had to poke holes in it, so it was pierced. It also, because of the grill marks and the stripes, which reminded us of Jesus in two ways, because Jesus, before the crucifixion, was beaten severely by whips, and then he was pierced to put him on the cross. And not only that, but the way they passed it out is they would break it, reminding that Jesus was broken for our sin and our transgressions. And each person that took a piece would have to break another piece off. Reminder of what Jesus had gone through for us. And that's one of the reasons why I think, if you look all the way back to the Passover, you know, the whole thing with the Passover, I think God established that because it not only reminded the Jews of what happened when they got saved from slavery, but it also pointed forward to what Jesus was going to do. And if you read the scripture a lot, like I do, you find out that the real children of Abraham, or the real Jews, to use the phrases of Paul, are the ones who believe and put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And that leads us to Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Or I like it a little better in 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What a wonderful promise. Romans 10:9-13 should be favorites of every Christian. And that says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is righteousness, and it is the mouth that he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same is Lord of all, abounding in riches, all who call on him. For whoever is called on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified with faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. We can even talk about, you know, Romans 8, the whole, that we can't be separated from the love of Christ at this time in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 8, 38 through 39. But the reason why we do the Lord's Supper is to point back to what Jesus did for us. The bread represented his body. The wine or the juice represents his blood that was shed for you. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more the day you see approaching. So, in other words, we need to keep fellowshipping. We need to hold on to one another. We need to do this even more fervently if we think the day is coming, the end times, so the day of the Lord. If we think it's coming, we need to do it even more so. I also like Galatians 6, 12 through 18. It says, those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that you will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything or uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon Israel for God. From now on, let no one cause you trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ with your spirit and brother, amen. Legalism, following a group set of rules, doesn't get us anywhere. Trying to be good hasn't ever saved anybody. That's what makes Christianity so different. Because all the other religions of the world say, if you just do these things, then God will love you. And then you'll have to get the rewards. Christianity says, Christ did it all for you. So let's look at what Paul said about, and we'll end with this, Paul said about the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11, starting with verse 17. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part. For there must be factions among you, in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not for the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another goes drunk, gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you on this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after the supper, and he said, "This is the new cup of the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. So let a person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For everyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks for judgment upon himself. That's why some of you are weak and ill, and some even have died. But if we judge ourselves, then we will not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that he may not be condemned along with the world. So, I want to give a moment as I go down to get the bread and get the cup. I want everybody to just take a moment and examine their own hearts. And as he said, you don't want to eat it, you don't want to take it in an unworthy manner. Make sure you're doing it in remembrance of the Lord. And as Jesus said when he's talking about gifts, if you've offended your brother, first go and ask for forgiveness, then come and give your gift. So I think it is something we should take serious, and I think it should be solemn. We talk about doing it more often. I think it would be great as long as we remember what we are doing it for. We're doing it to remember what Christ done for us. So let's all bow our heads and just examine our own hearts. If we have anything to confess to the Lord, let's do that first. And then we'll take the bread and the cup.
Like Paul reminded us on that night, Jesus took the bread and he said, "This is the body. This is my body, which I give up for you. Take and eat it in remembrance of me." Thank you. said before on that night, he said, this is my flesh broken for you. Take and eat of it. Remember it to me. And on that night he said, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Take and drink of it. And on that night, I don't know if we have one prepared, but on that night they sung a hymn. Sing the doxology, holy, holy, holy. You know that one? How'd you sing now that one's going to go?
Oh, you want to do
doxology? Or how do you want to do it?
Yeah, you
want to. I'll just wait. It's fine.
Like,
I was just waiting to see how that was going to go. People think it's free, but it was sure at a high cost. Seen that in the garden as you were praying at night, sweat drops of blood. So we thank you for all you've done. We also ask that you'll bless this meal that we're about to eat. That you have it nourish our bodies, and that it'll be a wonderful time of fellowship with you and with each other. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.